Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to the Saturday edition of Coffee House Shots. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Katie Balls and Isabel Oakeshott, journalist and commentator. When Brexit looked to be under threat in the last months of Theresa May's premiership, Nigel Farage rode back into the fray to create the Brexit Party. Only 3 months after its inception, it took the European elections by storm, coming first with 32% of the vote share. But when Boris Johnson struck a deal with the EU, there was something of a split between its leader and its grassroots supporters and even some MEPs. Its support took a dip in the days after the deal was struck, as half of Leave voters say they'd rather leave with Boris's deal than with no deal. So Isabel, do you think there's still a place for the Brexit Party now that the government has a deal?
Yes, I do, but I think it's been very difficult for the Brexit Party. I mean, it's difficult for all parties at the moment because they're chasing a constantly moving and changing target. But there's no doubt that there's a real dilemma for the Brexit Party. And, you know, I don't think it's any secret that there have been difficult discussions between Brexit Party MEPs and the party leadership and differing views on how to respond to Boris's deal. I mean, the official party position is that this is a deeply flawed deal. I think they've called it the second worst deal in history. But then there are people within the party who are more pragmatic and recognise that actually, flawed as this deal may be, and Nigel Farage is quite sort of compelling on why he thinks it's a very bad deal. Look, you know, it's really hard to see the path to no deal, this kind of ideological goal for many pure Brexiteers. And actually, there are many within the party that think at this point, we've got to be pragmatic. Let's back this. After all, you know, people can be forgiven for forgetting that this is only the withdrawal bit. It's not really the future arrangement. So within the Brexit Party, there are strong voices who are saying, you know, to some extent publicly and many in private, look, let's throw our weight behind this thing. We may not like it, but it will get us to the next stage.
And Katie, is that a sort of moderate position that you think Aaron Banks, the businessman who bankrolled UKIP, has been taken? I mean, one of the biggest stories in the last couple of weeks has been his fallout with Nigel Farage over support for Boris's deal.
I think it's been interesting watching how it has, in ways, I suppose, been a cause of different opinion within the Brexit Party. And I think that that's also, if you look at the Conservative Party, interesting, because there was a point where I think there were certain members of the European Research Group of Conservative backbenchers who liked the fact that the Brexit Party was pushing this quite hard line on Brexit, on no deal, because they thought it meant that Boris Johnson was kept in check. And I think there is some talk too that there are various Conservative MPs who were liaising with Brexit Party members to say, keep the pressure up, because we need the pressure on the Tory party in order to make sure Boris Johnson doesn't, you know, turn his red lines pink. Yet you have a situation which many of us thought seemed very far-fetched, where every single member of the European Research Group and every single Conservative MP backed Boris Johnson's Brexit deal. That includes Bill Cash, which I think was a surprise to many Conservative MPs. So I don't think it's a surprise if you look at the fact that you have lifelong Eurosceptics in the Tory party who can back the deal. There are some figures in the Brexit party who are also coming round to it. And that's partly because, as Isabel says, it's only the first bit. It doesn't actually tie the UK's hands indefinitely. And there are lots who talk about the trapdoor and horror. So this idea that you could potentially still go to WTO terms at the end of the transition period. But I think the fact that there is still a route out of this arrangement, you don't have to agree a trade deal with the EU, means that you are getting Eurosceptic support from people who still would probably prefer no deal because they don't think it rules it out. So I think that is why in the Brexit Party too, it is dividing opinion.
And that is, it's very muted support, you know, from some of those... Those that some would characterise as hardline Brexiteers. I mean, they've thrown their weight behind this really through gritted teeth, I think. I just want to pick up on something Katie said about the fallout between Aaron Banks and Nigel Farage. I think this has been really sort of overstated, as it were, because actually, I mean, the links between those two are more historic than current. Aaron has nothing to do with the Brexit Party. And I thought it was quite sort of surprising and refreshing, actually, to see him throwing his weight behind Boris's deal. And, you know, I think he, for the same reasons that I outlined, feels that now's the time, you know, to be pragmatic about this and let's move on to the next stage. And, you know, for the Brexit Party now, their dilemma is how to position for a general election. And that is occupying a lot of thinking.
And how do they position for a general election?
Well, it's very challenging, as it frankly is for all parties. You know, let's not say that despite what the polls are generally suggesting at the moment, that, you know, the Conservatives are way up there, high 30s, and, you know, Boris Johnson has positioned himself very well as a kind of champion of Leave. But the reality is, if we're not out of the EU by the time this election takes place, and goodness knows when that's going to be, it's very difficult for the Conservatives, because they are really asking voters who are tired of what they see as rotten politics, a rotten parliament, and a bunch of politicians on all sides who they can't trust. Boris has got to say, trust me and trust my party. And, you know, whatever the Prime Minister's tremendous qualities may be, trust isn't a great one.
And I definitely think that if you look, I suppose, at how the Conservative Party view an extension, there was a point that Boris Johnson himself kept making, which was, you know, extension means extinction for the Tory party. They definitely think it's no longer the case. And I think there is more optimism that they can wear an extension, they can blame it on other people, they can say, look, Boris Johnson tried in all these various ways to deliver Brexit. But if I were the Tories, I would still be nervous about going to an election with an extension. I was interested in a poll yesterday by Comres, which asked for how people would vote if there was an election and the deadline for the UK to leave the EU has been extended beyond the 31st of October. Labour were ahead on 27, the Conservatives are on 26, and the Brexit Party shoots up to 20%. Now, that's one poll, and I think
and
that...
And there have been others like this.
And I do think, too, just in terms of number 10 focus groups, and that they get the sense that they're not going to get that backlash. But it's a risky moment for Boris Johnson, and I do think that some people will just see the basics of the fact that the deadline's been missed and that he promised to make it and could help the Brexit
Party. And it's a real dilemma, I think, for Conservative voters. You know, Conservative Leave voters, you know, have a difficult choice to make. And, you know, for the Brexit Party, the decision is about what seats do you prioritise? Do you do what Nigel Farage has said the party will do and field candidates in every seat? You know, that may just not be a realistic or sensible approach to things. The Brexit Party has repeatedly sort of opened out an offer to the Conservatives to do some sort of deal with them. That has been rebuffed in quite colourful terms at times. I thought it was probably rather ill-advised of Downing Street sources, those Downing Street sources that are so much a part of our narrative at the moment, to react in such a kind of dismissive way to the Brexit Party. This was some weeks ago now, in terms of their entreaties, you know, they're sort of holding out the hand, as it were. Because, look, there are going to be difficult realities to be faced. And there are seats, for example, in the north where the Tories have never won. They're not going to win those seats. So it doesn't really make sense for the Conservative Party to put a lot of resources into those seats where actually the Brexit Party may well stand a good chance because of Labour's very confused positioning on all of this.
Isabel, is there also a thought that maybe the Tories don't want the Brexit Party's vote to go down too low, because there's been some polling that's shown that some of these Brexit Party supporters might go to Corbyn instead of going to the Tories?
I haven't seen any of that type of polling. I would treat it with a great deal of scepticism. I mean, one thing that does surprise me, and I have had some of these conversations with senior Conservatives in recent weeks, is the sort of institutionalised arrogance of the Conservative Party, which says we're a national party, we don't need the Brexit Party. I mean, come on, guys, look at the reality here. You have failed to deliver for 3 years, and actually look at the hard, cold, hard statistics here. And I think going back to the issue about the Labour Leave vote, I mean, I've been at a number of, I've had the misfortune, if you like, of attending rather a lot of Brexit Party rallies in all sorts of far-flung places. And actually, these rallies are heavily attended by former Labour voters, people who have voted Labour all their lives and are really, really unhappy with Labour. So I don't really buy into the idea that those Labour votes are not in these those old Labour votes are not in play for the Brexit Party. I don't think those people are going to default to Corbyn. Right. I think that they may well come over onto Nigel Farage's side.
Yeah, and I think on the issue of tribalism, one thing that I think from internal Labour polling they've found is that the Tories obviously hope or have a belief that the Leave Remain axis means people are now putting their their tribal allegiances aside. So lifelong Labour constituencies, which you never thought would turn blue, would now do it to get Brexit. I think that when testing this, and they would call them the Dennis Skinner voters, so, you know, lifelong Eurosceptics who do feel very Labour, I think those voters find it easier actually to switch to the Brexit Party than they do to go all the way to voting Tory. So they need an extra incentive to get there, which is why you have that, you know, domestic agenda and so forth. I think that from the Conservative perspective, they do think that there are Labour votes that could go to the Brexit Party. And what would be the sweet spot for the Conservative Party is if they got all the, you know, the Tory switcher voters back. And actually, the Brexit Party was more for those voters who are never actually going to vote Tory, no matter how much they try.
And that could happen. I don't think that that's totally unrealistic. You know, the Brexit Party has got to remember, in my view, they've got to remember their core mission, which is to deliver Brexit. You know, there is sometimes, I think, it's very tempting to become guilty of mission creep and start thinking that you're there to do something a lot more than that. And, you know, rightly, the Brexit Party has focused heavily on changing politics for good and trying to tap into that overwhelming feeling I think there is amongst voters that you know, there's something really rotten at the heart of our politics at the moment. But come back to the name of your party. It is the Brexit Party. So focus on delivering that. And I think that they'll be quite pragmatic when it comes down to whenever this election is called.
So Isabel, following on from that, do you think there's an argument from the Conservative Party side that they should get Brexit done first and then go to the country? Obviously, Boris Johnson is trying to do it the other way around at the moment.
Well, I mean, yes, if that were possible, but that, you know, unfortunately for the Conservatives, that's not a sort of possibility that is there for the taking. You know, yes, he can begin the process, he's been trying to begin the process, but, you know, there are so many people in Parliament with an agenda to thwart it that this could go on for months, if not years. So, you know, ultimately, I don't think that it's a case of choosing one or the other. You know, he's not in control of events.
I think when it comes to the Brexit Party, if you do get an election pre-Brexit, which is obviously what Boris Johnson is pushing for at the moment but hasn't yet been delivered, I think almost the best hope for the Brexit Party is they do have this anti-establishment message, which is that you can't trust politicians. And I think the risk for the Tories right now is that they look like they're engineering this too much, or they start to just look incompetent. I think that there is a risk that people look at what's happened the past couple of years in Westminster, and yes, it looks like Boris Johnson is trying to deliver it, but it also looks as though he hasn't. And actually, people say, oh, I'm sick of both sides. And
absolutely,
I think that would help.
Absolutely.
I think that's probably what the Brexit Party would need to press on, which is
And they will. And they will. And trust. And it's about trust. Look, do or die. That is going to come back time and time and time again to haunt the Prime Minister. And the many other times he said, I will not ask for an extension. I will not ask for an extension. I will not ask. Voters aren't going to care the nicety, well, actually, you didn't sign the letter, or actually, it was Parliament that asked. They will just see somebody who has not delivered. And in that case, you know, why wouldn't they be tempted by a party, potentially, that can keep the other sides honest?
Isabel and Katie, thanks very much. And if you enjoy Coffee House Shots, why not join us for a live Coffee House Shots recording on the 12th of November? Katie will be there together with Fraser Nelson, James Forsyth, Liam Halligan and Sam Gyimah MP, who used to be Conservative but is now a Lib Dem. So join us at the Emmanuel Centre, and to find tickets, you can go to spectator.co.uk/liveshots. Thanks for listening, and join us again tomorrow.